Well, a good afternoon to everyone. It's pretty fantastic to be here today. I plan today to continue a sermon I gave a few weeks ago. I might call it part two. Then it was entitled Our Protection. But I'll be concentrating today on the Sabbath. In the first sermon, I briefly talked about the first, second, and third commandment. And so we might turn to Exodus 20. We'll be there several times. Exodus 20. And you know where I'm going there in verse 1. And we'll just review these first three commandments briefly. And it says, and God spoke all these words, saying. So God is speaking these words. I am the eternal your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Well, Egypt had many gods. And the Israelites had been cut off from the true God, it seems. But he's saying, I am the God who freed you. Our God is a God who frees people. He doesn't enslave them. Egypt had many gods, and the Israelites, of course, they were slaves. So they had no rights. And, of course, they needed to be introduced to the true God. After many few generations there in slavery, they need to be introduced to God and to the Sabbath day. Sure, as slaves, they probably weren't allowed to observe a Sabbath. I don't know about scriptures on that, but they were slaves. He's the God who, he's not a God who enslaves, but a God who frees slaves. The religions of the world enslave people, as even some of the communists have said, the opium of the people, religion, has enslaved people. And Egypt was in bondage to their many gods. Even the Native Americans had various gods, sun god, had the evil god, the good god, and which they had to appease. And so it kept them in a state of poverty, I'd say. We would call poverty, they wouldn't. But they'll say in verse number 3, also it says, you shall have no other gods before me. We don't have a choice. There's no other gods. I freed you from Egypt's God. Now you shall worship only me. Yes, you shall only worship me. It says, as I've read and heard, I don't want to say right now a word, but nothing, according to this person, nothing changed the world for better more than the Ten Commandments. Nothing changed the world for better more than the Ten Commandments. And, of course, that's looking at the last few centuries where the Israelite people were basically the dominant one in the world. Any moral statement we say is just an opinion, but we need God to have the real opinion that matters. We need God to tell us the moral truths. Mankind can come up with all kinds of opinions. As we heard, you know, about the synagogue of Satan, there's opinions there, and you can take your choice. We can determine many decisions. They might be right, they might be wrong. But when it comes to righteousness, is determined by God. And that's what he said, you shall have no other gods before me. The words You're not in Egypt now. You know, you're not in Dallas now. You're not in Egypt now. There's only one God. You know, the Ten Commandments show the way to a free society. God releases people. And if you see where the basic laws of a country are based on God's law, it's a free society. It's not a communist or a dictatorship. In verse 4, it says, "You shall not make yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything." No, not take, you can't just decide to carve out God out of a piece of wood or a stone and then say, well, this represents God. No, God seeks those that worship him in spirit and in truth. An idol is not truth, and it's not God. No. And then, of course, in verse 7, do not take his name in vain. You shall not take his name in vain. As a child, I don't recall ever hearing my parents take God's name in profanity. But as I honored them, they were great parents, but they did take God's name in vain. They took God's name and taught a false religion about the afterlife, about holy day, even though I'm sure they weren't aware of it, but they were using God's name in vain. And so these things make us a slave to the false God, doesn't it? And then we come to the dreaded fourth commandment. Yes, the dreaded fourth commandment, because it interferes with our time. You know, people say you can mess with everything but my money and my time. And so the Sabbath interferes with our time. But my purpose today is I want to talk about the Sabbath, how it contributes to physical, mental, and spiritual health. The Sabbath is a part of God's protection, and it protects us. And it contributes to, I say contribute because physically, food, air, water contribute to life. But the Sabbath contributes to the physical, mental, and spiritual health. I got to thinking about this. So I was drawing my attention to an article in the Wall Street Journal back November 7th of this year. It got my attention. It was titled, "Escape Your Packed Schedule and Take a Rest from Work." I thought I was bringing that article up here, but I failed to do it. Must have left it at home. But it's amazing how the world can dance around the truth without not really taking it. But some of the quotes from that paper, and this got me thinking about the Sabbath and how it applies. It says, "The world no longer gives you time to rest, so you got to take it." That was a quote from this article. The world won't give you time to rest. You've got to take it. But see, they don't understand that God has given us rest. Remember? So other quotes, he advises companies, this Dr. Pang is a quote here, he advises companies on how to deal with the weekly work, how to give people time off. But he says, pausing will energize you physically and mentally. A pause, take time. See, they can get close in some of the meaning of the Sabbath. Pausing will energize you physically and mentally. Gives you permission to say no to overwork. Yeah, the Sabbath gives you permission. You have permission not to go to work today. You don't have to apologize to it, feel guilty, worry about what's going to happen there at work. What are they going to do without me? You know, no. You've got permission not to be at work today. You got your permission slip or whatever you feel like you need to have. No, gives you permission. I believe it's said in there, I believe this is where I got this, a workaholic is just a rich slave. Just a rich slave. He's a workaholic. And you hear many executives speak about working 80 hours a week. And it's kind of like a badge. Man, look what I'm doing. Hey, you're a rich slave. And this article goes on to say, sometimes the way forward is to stop and rest. Yes, if we want to go forward in God's way, he says, you're going to stop and rest. You have permission. And one of the doctors is quoted in there that gives physical therapy. I just wrote this down from the article. It says, lifting barbells, hitting your 10th mile, these things leave micro tears in your muscles. It's afterward, when your body is at rest, that it repairs the damage and makes you better than before. So the Sabbath day makes us better physically, mentally. If you're out and you're obeying God and you're in the world, you're going to get some mental, emotional tears. And you've got permission to get away and to become better. Remember what it says in Mark chapter 2? I should turn there. I'm sure you know, but Mark chapter 2 in verse 27. You can say, well, what has God done for me lately? Well, we'll read it. Mark chapter 2, verse 27. I'm in John, no wonder. It's Matthew, Mark. I may still be wrong. I probably wrote it down wrong. But anyway, it says in the scripture I wanted, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So there's our gift right there. The Sabbath was made for man. It's a rest. So back to Exodus 20, verse 8. I don't know where that scripture is that I wanted. Was it there? And I not seeing it? Oh, yeah, I got over into 3. No? Well, some reason I don't see it. So your Bibles are wrong. Sorry. you can check my email, and I sell Bibles, so you can get the right one, okay? Well, anyway, if you've seen it, you know that the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. And in Exodus 20, verse 8, it says, remember the Sabbath. Remember it. I circled that word Sabbath, and in the Strong's it's 7676, and it means an intermission. It says, remember the intermission. Maybe it's easy to forget. Remember the intermission that the world wants you to forget or substitute. It says to keep it holy. And the word holy means to consecrate and dedicate. So here we are. We're to remember it, an intermission, and to dedicate and consecrate it. To keep it holy. In other words, to set it apart for a purpose. And it's not our own, but God gives it to us as a gift. So if we just look back at Genesis chapter 2, we'll see it seems unusual that the Sabbath is the one forgotten, and yet it's the one in the beginning that's given. You say, well, it wasn't given as a commandment. Well, Genesis 2, verses 1 and 2. Thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished, and on the seventh day God ended his work which he had done, and he rested. And he rested. That word rested means to repose, desist from exertion, and cease. God worked 6 days, and so the Sabbath goes back to the very beginning. You'd think that would be the one that everyone would remember. It says, and God ended. Yes, he ended his work. And the word there, work, would mean like dutyship, general man employment, as far as how it would apply to us. Yes. He ended his work. And what did he do in verse 3? And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it. He blessed it. I think the Greek or the Hebrew is 1288, barak, as a benefit, to show respect. That's how. It was for a benefit and to show respect. So we should show respect to this day. Yes, he blessed it. So we should show that respect also. So I'll go back to Exodus 20 now. Just wanted to bring that in. Where the Sabbath originated from, who did it, when. So back to Exodus 20, verse 8 again. Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. And what shall you do? 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. Work again. Hebrew word means general employment, your occupation. It sounds like a command. You should work. You should be doing your work, what you're able to do and what your skills allow. And what else does it say then? Do your work. In it you shall do no work. In other words, your occupation, remember, you got an excuse slip to not go to work. You nor your son nor your daughter, you nor your son or your daughter, your entire household, as it goes on to describe. It says, nor your son nor your daughter, nor your male servant. The word their servant is what I found is 5650 means a bond slave. You have control. Say, well, we're going to church, clean the house and vacuum while we're gone, or whatever. No. See, God even frees the slave on the Sabbath day. Yeah, in our booklet, Sunset, Sunset, it says in the study guide, all members of the household were to rest from labor, even servants, guests, and animals. In other words, you don't expect your guest to do the dishes while you're at church. You know, maybe a traveler, someone staying with you. Huh? We got to go to church. The sink's full of dishes. We'll see you in a couple of hours. We'll expect those to be done. No, don't expect your guest to do the dishes while you're at church. The Sabbath elevates human beings. Even a slave can cease from work. The Sabbath elevates the dignity of even a slave. God says, no, he's not going to work either. You're not to make him work. You know, God says a slave must be allowed to rest. You could say freedom for even a slave. And also, nor your cattle. And in Deuteronomy, it goes more that your ox and donkey in Deuteronomy 5. We could turn there, but I think you know there the animal could say, I've heard it say, is the first law on behalf of animals. He granted slaves and animals dignity. Yes, animal rights people, where's the first time? Maybe you can think of some time before that animals were granted rights. We hear about animal rights. No, God gave animal rights on the Sabbath day. If you've got your ox plowing all week, let him have a rest. That was hard works. Because remember back in Genesis chapter 1:28, that we have dominion over animals. In words, that's our property, our thing, and we could just keep abusing it in a sense of never letting it rest. Now the wild deer and all those and the antelope and the cow in the pasture, they do what they want. But a working animal is, hey, we're making it work, and it's plowing, it's doing whatever until now. Of course, we have automobiles now. So even Jesus acknowledged this, but I think we see here that the Pharisees had taken this the wrong way, I believe. Let's look at Luke chapter 13, then we'll come back to Exodus 20. I'll go back to Luke and see if I can find this chapter in Luke. I'm not having much luck with Luke. The beloved physician? You know. Okay, Luke chapter 13. I should have put a tab here. I'm taking too much time. Luke chapter 13, verse 15, 16. We see, above there we see that the ruler of the synagogues answered with indignation there in verse 14 because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. Hey, you can't do that. And he said to the crowd, there are 6 days, that's the ruler of the synagogue, there are 6 days when men ought to work. Oh, he's carrying the free pass from work. He's carrying it on out to even doing good, which men ought to work. Therefore, come and be healed on them and not on the Sabbath. So what Jesus say, verse 15, the Lord then answered him and said, hypocrite, does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his donkey from the stall and lead him away to water? Oh, well, you're concerned about the animal, but they forgot that the Sabbath was made for man. It doesn't say it's made for animals, but God did say that the animals were to have rest. Oh, it's okay to take your ox, go out and water it, which it is. But to heal someone? No, well, so that's getting the priorities a little bit backwards there that animals were more important than people. No, God wants us, we have control of the animal, we want it taken care of, but the Sabbath was made for man. Well, you say, well, they could have had water in a trough there, and they should have done all that beforehand. But Jesus was just showing that, hey, that wasn't their occupation. It's okay to do good on the Sabbath and take care of your animal. And just turn over to Luke 14 in verse 5. And he answered them, saying, which of you, having a donkey or an ox that's fallen into a pit, will not immediately pull him out on the Sabbath? Well, that's what you should do. But then he's being criticized for helping someone. And there, if you see in verse 1, that it happened, he went into the house of one of the rulers of the Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath. So they went in there, they was having a meal on the Sabbath. But they watched him because they wanted to accuse him. So when he did a good deed, there was a certain man who had dropsy, and then Jesus said to the lawyers, saying, is it lawful, on verse 3, to heal on the Sabbath? So he put that question to them. Is it lawful to heal? Is it lawful to heal or not? Well, he showed them it was. And, of course, we know in Deuteronomy 25:4, I don't need to turn there, that, you know, it says, you shall not muzzle the ox who treads out the corn. So God even gave relief to the working animal that were on this working schedule. In other words, be kind. But I think we have more explanation for that if we turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Again, showing the Sabbath was made for man. It wasn't made for animals, but because we have control of the animals, then we should take our responsibility to care for them. Okay, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, in verse 1, we see here Paul's maybe having a controversy in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 1. Am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ? Oh, he said, have I not seen Jesus Christ? Remember, he spent time in Arabia, I believe. Jesus Christ, our Lord. Are you not my work in the Lord? In other words, Paul saying, have I not brought the truth to you and taught you? Have you not been my work? If I am an apostle to others, yet doubtless I am to you, for you are the seal of my apostleship in the Lord. He was saying, look, my labor, I've been laboring for you. But then I want to go down to verse 8. Do I say these things as a mere man, or does not the law say the same? For it is written in the law of Moses, you shall not muzzle an ox while he treads out the corn. Is it oxen God is concerned about? He said, oh, is it oxen God's concerned about? No, Sabbath was made for man. Man should take care of the oxen. Or in verse 10, or does he say it altogether for my sakes, for our sake? No doubt this is written, who plows should plow in hope. He's comparing the ministry to an oxen pulling a plow, preparing the ground for God's seed, isn't he? Yeah, that's what we're commissioned to do. Plow should plow in hope, and he who threshes in hope should be partakers of his hope. He said, why shouldn't I be supported for my work? I mean, we don't want to muzzle the ox. He's working and he can't take a bite. you know, in his hunger, as he thrashes or cultivates the corn. See, he said in verse 11, if we have sown spiritually, see, it goes back to agriculture. Things for you, is it great thing if we reap your material things? So, we is mature in the knowledge. We should be supporting. You could say the ox. I don't want to call Mr. Dowd an ox, but he's pulling the plow in a way, preparing the soil for the little plants that will come up. And for those at home office that are working, should we not be supporting? Yes, we should. In other words, be kind to those who serve. Back to Exodus 20. Exodus 20, verse 10. Nor your stranger, I was getting back to that, Exodus 20, verse 10. See, where were we here? Nor your daughter, nor your male servant. Also, nor your female servant, your bond servant, female, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who's within your gate. Nor your stranger. The Hebrew word there, 16:16, properly a guest by implication, a foreigner, an alien, a sojourner. You have control over. You can't shift the work over on that person, you know. You know, keep my job going or do my work here. Who is within your gates? Within your gate is an opening, that is a door or a gate within your household, where you just can't pass this around to other people that you have control of, do you? No. For again, in verse 11, we're reminded, for in 6 days the Eternal made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all is in them. So you can't just, we're going back to God as the creator, as the one that gave us the Sabbath day. And we can't just pass this load off onto a stranger. My granddaughter worked as a nanny in Germany for 1 year. And she was in their control, being paid, but she is in a foreign country. And it was easy for them to expect her to perform some of her duties on the Sabbath. I mean, they have her all week, and then here comes the Sabbath. Well, who's going to take care of the kids? Well, the parents are. They're not working that day. But see, it'd just be easy to pass it off to the stranger. And but that's a no. She was within their gate. So someone who depends on you, she depended on them for her livelihood. I mean, she would just be out in Germany. And so it'd be easy. The thing is, it was easy. You know, she's taking care of the kids every day. Then the seventh day comes. Well, she's still there. You know, parents are there, but the baby needs changed or needs something. You know, it'd be easy, you know. Hey, Lauren, would you go change the baby? And it wouldn't be wrong to go change the baby, except that was her job, and it could just kind of be shifted over to where she was still on duty. And I see that would be easy to do, even for a person with good intentions, for sure. So I think I wanted to go on now, but she just depended on livelihood. She was a stranger within their gate. And so I want to talk about a little bit, even our mental health and intelligence involves recognizing God. We like turn to Exodus 31, the Sabbath given as a sign. I will turn there. Exodus 31. It is a sign. And we see that in Exodus 31, in verse 3, that God gave special abilities for the building of the tabernacle. And in verse 3, I see, and I have filled him, this person, to do the craftsmanship. I have filled him with the Spirit of God and wisdom and understanding, knowledge, and all manner of workmanship to design the artistic works so God can put things in our mind. He can put wisdom in our head. And you remember they were building the tabernacle, but also remember that we are now the temple of God. And we're being built. And God can put this wisdom in our mind and even those that guide us. And then we see in verse 13, then comes the Sabbath sign tied in with this. It says, speak also to the children of Israel, saying, surely my Sabbaths you shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations. A sign forever. But again, remember that the Sabbath was made for man. To Jesus Christ, I believe this is a quote from the Sunset to Sunset study guide. To Jesus Christ, the Sabbath was positive and beneficial, not the oppressing burden some religious leaders had made it. So they had twisted, you know, a heretic. My definition is someone who twists the scriptures, adds to them, or takes away part of the scriptures that aren't really plain, developing them into their own doctrine or belief. But Sabbath was made for the good of man. God intended it to be a blessing and a benefit for mankind. Again, from sunset to sunset, we have these booklets. This is an older one. It has the same ingredients. God's statutes and judgments. This is your wisdom and your understanding. Remember the people building the tabernacle? God gave them wisdom and understanding. This is part of the Sabbath. Is when God gives wisdom and our understanding. And he wants us always to remember that, as he told them, you were slaves in Egypt. And Christians are delivered from spiritual slavery to death, aren't they? Let's look at Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Most everyone has read this. Romans chapter 6. And we look at verse 16. And we see here that, do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slave whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness. God has sent deliverance for that. And God has begun to free mankind. And I won't turn there, but I think, no, it wasn't exactly this scripture, but it's close in the sermonette. 2 Peter 2. Verse 19, for by whom a person is overcome, by him also he is brought into bondage. So we see that a person is brought into bondage. I should turn there to 2 Peter. I'm just talking. Second Peter chapter 2, verse 19. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by whom a person is overcome, by him also he is brought into bondage. God is he frees people, and the Sabbath day is given. It's a freeing agent for us. So now we will look at Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. And how this carries on over to the time of Christ. We see that the Sabbath was a shadow of the future of the greatest rest of all. Hebrews 4:1. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short. And they did. Those that were first given, they came in short. For in verse 2, for indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. But the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. No, it wasn't mixed with faith with those that heard it. There has to be faith mixed with God's word. There has to be faith mixed with keeping the Sabbath. Because at times we're challenged on that. It's Sabbath or the job. Your choice. There has to be faith mixed with God's word. But remember that God rested on the Sabbath, as it says here in verse 4. For he has spoken in certain place. Here we're going back to creation again. Of the seventh day in this way. And God rested on the seventh day from all his work. God rested from all his works. He deceased, or he ceased, or to settle down. That's right. Can we settle down on this day? You know, many times it's a Sabbath, and your mind's going way off. Oh, yeah, what didn't I get done? Or what do I need to get done? Oh, you know, there we go. No, we have permission to put that out. And in verse 9, it says, there remains, therefore, a rest for the people of God. The rest. Anchor Bible Dictionary says that word sabbatismos means keeping the seventh day Sabbath. I mean, if you want to go by Anchor Bible Dictionary, the Interliner translation says a keeping of Sabbath, a Sabbath rest. This is one of the first things when I first began to learn. Someone just gave me this Interliner translation, old beat up book. And so I just turned there, and there it was, because I was confused. Well, which day is the Sabbath? Is it Sunday? Is it Sabbath or Saturday? Saturday seemed pretty strange. But this talks about the seventh day here in this very chapter that God rested, means a keeping of the Sabbath. Sabbath is a holy day, and it's sunset to sunset, isn't it? I won't turn there, but Leviticus 23:32, excuse me, says Sabbath. Celebrate your Sabbath sunset to sunset. Leviticus 23, verse 32, evening from evening. Sabbath is a holy day, and that is sunset to sunset all day. Not just two-hour service here that we're having here today. No, it says sunset to sunset, even to even. Yes, even to evening. And we see the Sabbath is from Hebrews 4 is a foretaste of the millennium, a time for face-to-face fellowship. Why did I say that? Well, let's look at Hebrews 10. We're in Hebrews. We have technology now. We can stay home and listen to the sermon, actually see it. Yeah. And there's no showering, no shaving, you know, just get up. Well, what time is it? Yeah, turn on the TV, on the computer. But I think we'll see here in Hebrews 10:25. Maybe that's not really what God had in mind. In verse 24 first, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. So how do we consider one another? How do we stir up one another with good works? It says in verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Not forsaking the assembling. Even though it's much easier, but why was that even in there? Not assembling ourselves together as a manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. We certainly may surely see the day approaching. So we need more drive to make the effort to fellowship with our people in love and encouragement. When we say, how are you? Do we mean it? I mean, look them in the face. A lot of times they don't even have to answer. You can always already say, hey, it's not been good. Or you can say, well, yeah, it's been good. You know, the time of seeing people, maybe even touching people when you say, how are you? It's time for family at home. You shut down that day and you gather your family and you have time to talk about God, to talk about things that maybe they wouldn't brought up all week that you need to know. A time of refreshing one another on a personal level. We're here today. We had some snacks. We sat there and, you know, we had some personal time. Telephoning, texting, email. That can be great, but it's not face-to-face, personal. It's just not there. Not just remembered to keep it, but set it apart. Set it apart. I mean, we need to make the effort to set it apart. Come and see your fellow brothers and sisters, because they're out here in the world too. You know, I go most of the week, I never see a brother or sister in Christ. If I miss this day, I don't see any that whole week. Sabbath's a 24-hour time. It's time to be refreshed physically and spiritually. Time to be set apart for God and His people, isn't it? Remember His people? We're fellowshipping with His people. We're fellowshipping with God. Look at Colossians chapter 1 in verse 27. I'm sure we have many times looked at this, haven't we? Colossians 1 verse 27 says a reminder. Colossians 1, 27. And we'll start in verse 26. For the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to who? His saints. That's who it's been revealed to. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you. When you're talking to one another, you're talking to Jesus Christ, aren't you? Let's look at John chapter 14. John chapter 14, in verse 23. John 14, verse 23. Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, said, oh, you love Jesus? If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and what? We will come to him and make our home or our dwelling with him. So when we go back and we fellowship this morning, when we're face to face, we're with Jesus Christ and the Father. We're sharing our life with God. We're sharing our life with God in fellowship. So, how many times does Scripture record that Christ and his disciples sharing food? That's something you could look up if you're interested. How many times were they breaking bread and they're meeting together and they're eating? It's just something, I haven't actually looked it up. But how many times? This time of the year, the Sabbath it's about over. We only got a little more time on God's Sabbath day to visit with him and you face to face. So I just want to conclude and say, so let's go fellowship with God and his people on the Sabbath day, which is today, and we got a little bit of time left.